Hi, this is Craig Ballantyne, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show.
Super excited here, guys. So my name is Daniel Woodruff. I'm the head coach at Early to Rise. And if you're on last week's training, I teach you guys and said, hey, we have a very special bonus session this week, so don't miss it. And I'm here to deliver on that promise. So we have the most disciplined man in the world, Craig Ballantyne, on here today. And we're going to be doing a Q&A style training. We're going to keep it about 15 to 20 minutes. So it'll be short and sweet. And the focus today is around time management and discipline and some of Craig's hacks that he has learned over the years to become the most disciplined man in the world and help thousands of other high performers become more disciplined. As one side note, you might have received an email from Craig a few days ago asking if you had any questions that you wanted us to answer. We got a ton of responses back, a lot of great questions. Because of the tight window here, we only have a couple that we can answer, but we will get to everybody's questions down the road because we will definitely be doing more of these in the future. And just a real quick housekeeping note, guys, if you can make sure that you do not hit the unmute button so we don't have any disturbances or distractions, that would be great. Craig, are you ready to rock and roll?
I'm ready to rock and roll. And I want to see people putting questions in the chat. Even if we don't get them to them today, we are obsessed with answering everybody's questions. So please let us know. And as we go, and I'll see them in the chat and make sure that we get to them. All right. So let's rock and roll, sir.
All right. Awesome. So the first question might require the most vulnerability today, Craig. And as I said, you're known as the most disciplined man in the world, but that means that it doesn't mean that you're perfect. So what's one thing you still struggle with discipline, and what are you doing to overcome that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so I still struggle with eating too much at night. I was able to kick the alcohol habit to the curb, and I read this really, really great quote. It's better to be 100% in than 99% in. And I was 99% in with alcohol until a couple months ago. And what that means is I would have like one or two drinks a month. So twice a month, maybe I'd have one drink, maybe once a month I'd have one drink, and I just wasn't sleeping well. So I decided to go 100% all in and kick alcohol to the curb. And a side note for anybody out there who drinks too much beer, specifically beer, or they have friends, relatives who drink too much beer. I have had three Heineken 00s in the last few months, and they're not that bad. And they look exactly like Heineken's. And so I actually gave this to one of our clients, Daniel, one of our Ben clients named Ben. And, you know, his family has a real strong drinking culture, and he's used the Heineken 00s, and like, you can like pretend to be drinking a real Heineken and drinking a Heineken 00 and it'll keep you out of trouble. So that's one thing that has worked. But back to the not eating too much at night. So I've really shifted things. I've been trying, you have to try a lot of experiments, right? And so I have been eating very early dinners, doing the brushing your teeth, all that sort of stuff. But I would say like once every 2 weeks, I just eat too much at night. So that is something that I still struggle with. Other than that, I'm getting better at putting the phone away. I've made a commitment, and I read this commitment all the time. And I talk about, you know, the power of shifting your identity. I've made YouTube videos on it, podcasts on it. We have it in our Effortless Discipline Bootcamp course, a very detailed deep dive into how to shift your identity. I can't go into it right now, but I'll tell you what, I've been shifting my identity around control of the phone. So putting the phone away, putting it in another room, the problem is I just want to take so many pictures of my daughter and my wife too, that I'm always pulling my phone out. So I might have to buy either a burner phone or a old iPod Touch or whatever those things were. I might have to get like Michelle's father is visiting, and he actually has like an old, like a real camera. So I might have to buy a real camera and just take pictures of the fam and keep the phone away. So phone's always going to be something, but remember, you can build a fence around yourself with what we teach you in the program. And my identity is shifting to that type of person who doesn't pull their phone out when they're with their family. So those are the things I'm struggling with and working at getting better at them every single day.
That's great. And one thing you've always taught me, Craig, is that you cannot rely on your willpower because it'll break every single time. So you've got to be able to create those systems and processes, you know, put them in place to not rely on your willpower. So
exactly.
All right, yeah. Great. So the next question there for you, Craig, is, you know, you work with a lot of high performers, but even high performers struggle with sticking to their schedule What are a couple of common mistakes that you see high performers make with their weekly schedule and setting up their calendars?
Well, one thing is you're talking about in a recent article you wrote for our clients, which is having hard cutoff times. And I first learned this from one of my mentors, Dan Kennedy. He said a lot of people, you know, everybody's got start times for meetings and calls and stuff, but very, very few people have end times. And you mentioned at the start of this one, we're going to be 15 or 20 minutes, rapid fire, get a lot of value in a short amount of time, but it's, you know, 20 minutes. I got another call at the bottom of the hour. And so it is having those strict start times and strict cutoff times, and then making sure that when you know that you have that, you have to have a very strong agenda. So most of my clients, even at the highest level, are still not having that. And then one thing bleeds into another and they're pushing things back, whether they're pushing off a date night or whether they're pushing another meeting, which pushes another meeting, which pushes another meeting, which pushes another meeting. And the next thing you know, they're very late for dinner. And so when you book something on your schedule, clearly communicate the start time and the end time to the person. Then do your work in advance to plan out a very clear agenda, and then lead off each one of these interactions, calls, meetings, whatever it is, saying, hey, in the next 30 minutes, we're going to get this, we're going to do this, this, and this. And I'm respecting your time because I know that you're super busy. So the agenda and everything is for the benefit of the other person. I want to be totally respectful of your time. So we're going to get this done in 25 minutes. So you even have a couple of minutes to go to your 30 minute, to your meeting at 3:30. And that's one thing that I teach our very, very busy clients as well, is that if your meeting is an hour, your meeting can be 50 minutes and you're not going to lose value. So give yourself 10 minutes. And what we see is that most people are not treating themselves as professional athletes, and they have a meeting at 1, at 2, at 3, at 4, and at 5. Each one of those is 60 minutes, which doesn't give them any time for hydration or bathroom breaks. But if you take a look at a basketball game, they don't make LeBron James play 48 straight minutes of basketball. No, there's TV times out, there's half times, there's quarter times out, you know, the ladies and gentlemen of the cheer squad have to get on the court and do their dance routines. You know, they're giving them a break and they're getting hydration, they're getting substitutions and all that sort of stuff. They don't make them play 48 minutes in a row, just like you can't do 4 hours in a row. So treat yourself like a professional athlete, have those cutoff times and have those buzzers going off in your head that signify the deadlines.
That's really great. And kind of a follow-up question to that, Craig, is, you know, I know you get, maybe not so much now because people understand this, but you've been bombarded with, you know, podcast requests, meeting requests, emails. What are some of your rules of engagement to know what to say yes to and what to say no to?
You got to put parameters on things. So I put parameters on the number of people that will be on podcasts. You know, so if somebody has a listenership of only 100 people, I just can't go on that podcast, because just think of all the other stuff that I can do in an hour besides talking on a podcast. It'll be only heard by 100 people. And I learned that the hard way. I've been interviewed over 600 times. And I realized that, you know, some of these interviews, if 50 people listen to this in the next 10 years, I will be lucky. And that's really bad use of my time. So I then built parameters around it. I built parameters around if someone's, you know, invites me to go and speak at their event. Well, you're asking me to go one day travel, one day speaking, one day travel home. I can't do that for $1,000, right? You know, some people, that's what some people throw out. And I realized that again years ago. And so I put this like ridiculously high price on my speaking, because even if I went for that ridiculously high price of speaking, whether it was $25,000 or $50,000, like, you know, Tim Grover is $50,000 for a speech, I'm sure, if not more. So there's people out there charging it, but that's not my job. My job is to run this company, to run this coaching program, to help all these people on our email list, to coach my coaches up, you know, and to support you, our head coach of our program, and to support our sales team. I got a million things. I can't be going and spending 3 full days leaving my family and all that stuff. So I built the parameters. It has to be this. 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 If it doesn't check all those boxes, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I wish you well. I'll send you, you know, 10 copies of my book, but I can't speak at your event. Same with the podcast. And with the emails, it's, I've got this much time to answer the emails. I can't, you know, I got 21 minutes to answer emails today. That's all I've got. If I don't get to the email, I put them in another folder. And, you know, over time, you know, after 3 days of not getting to the email, you realize that most of the emails didn't need a response anyways. Now, the other thing that I do with respect to email is that I spent the last 15 years telling people I don't respond to email. So hardly anybody emails me. I went to the gym this morning, you know, it was a round trip, probably a couple hours. I got back, I had one email in my inbox, one email in my inbox, and one from Amazon, which was like a receipt or an ad or something. That was it, because I built the systems in advance so that I don't get the emails in the first place.
And then NNTR, right? No need to reply.
NNTR, that's right. Yeah. So if anybody's, you know, everybody listening, if you are getting into these long conversations on social media, LinkedIn, Instagram, text messaging, email, and you just want to get out of it, just, you know, say, okay, great. I will see you at 10 o'clock tomorrow at the coffee shop, NNTR dash, no need to reply. And over time, people, you know, you have to write it out the first time because people won't know what NNTR is. But eventually you just get to the point where it's like NNTR, like you don't need to then say thank you. And then I'll say you're welcome and blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, you have 19 messages that are two words long that didn't need to be sent. NNTR, listen, everybody's busy and needs to get back to work and not get in these message threads. Evelyn asked, do people call you? Heck no. Nobody calls me and I wouldn't answer anyways. So I don't even have my phone on most of the day. I have meetings and the meetings are weekly or some of them are a little bit more frequently. And all of the issues are addressed in the meeting. Nobody needs to send me a message on a Wednesday when we have a meeting on a Friday about a question that is about something 3 months from now. But people tend to do that, right? Like, you know, hey, you know, that event that's coming up in September, you know, do you want to have, you know, for the dinner, do you want to have it at this restaurant or this restaurant? Well, you and I have a meeting on Monday. This question can wait till Monday. I'm not even going to answer that email. It's a horrible use of your time. It's a horrible use of my time. So you just, you know, people just send way too many emails. I always tell people to treat email like a fax. And so, you know, people got to be as old as I am to know what a fax machine is. But back in the day, when you had a fax machine, you had to get up out of your chair. You had to print something off. You had to insert it in a fax machine and send it. If you treated email like a fax machine, you'd be like, I ain't sending that many. I ain't getting out of my seat to walk across a room to say thank you to somebody in two word email for the fax that they just sent me. You wouldn't do that. So treat your email like a fax. And then the calls and meetings are scheduled where we're going to have the conversations. Like, I'm not even as hardcore as some of my mentors who didn't even have email addresses or cell phones. Like, I literally know people who have never had an email or a cell phone, and they make everybody go through their assistant and they have once a month calls with people. Like, they can do it. You can totally do it. You can totally do it. I make the world play by my rules. I always have, always will, always want to. And those are my rules.
Yeah. I mean, Evelyn, to follow that, I've known Craig for 12 years. Never once. I don't think I've ever talked to him on the phone. We communicate on a daily basis, but it's, you know, usually
it's horribly awkward. If you want to talk to me on the phone, I mean, go ahead. You may as well just put your nails on a chalkboard while you're at it.
All right. That was great. Thanks, Evelyn, for that question. So now we're going to go to a couple of questions that we got from some email responses from some readers. And this one Craig is from Rust. And his question is, I'm a night owl by nature, but can see the results from going to bed earlier and getting up earlier. Do you have any tips for getting to bed earlier?
Yeah, absolutely. So you have to start with not being overzealous. So, you know, if you're going to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning right now, don't think you're going to go to bed 11:30 tomorrow night. This is not going to happen. It's like, if you're getting up at 8 a.m, you're not going to join the 5 a.m. club overnight. It's a bad idea. So, you know, just work your way back. Remember way back in the day when I had my anxiety attacks, I was getting up at 7:30 in the morning and I decided that for the next week, I'm going to get up 5 minutes earlier. I don't mean 5 minutes earlier every day. I meant at 7:25 for a week straight. And I nailed it. I mastered getting up at 7:25. Then the next week, the next 7 days was getting up at 7:20. Then the next 7 days was getting up at 7:15. And I won. I never screwed that up. I never, rebounded, all that sort of stuff. I was always getting up at the new wake up time because it was easy. And so it's the same sort of thing with your going to bed time. You know, if you're going to bed at 2 now, 1:55, it's a victory, and so on and so forth. And then, you know, in 6 months from now, you're going to bed at 11 o'clock and it'll be super easy for you. The other thing is make sure you have the reverse alarm. So the reverse alarm goes off an hour before bed and makes you shut off all your electronics. Because the one thing that happens to all of us is that we get hooked on electronics. We get hooked on Netflix. We get hooked into work. That was another thing that, you know, when you were asking about what do the very successful people do is they love their work and they go back to work at 9 o'clock after they put their kids to bed. And the next thing you know, they're working until midnight and their bedtime was 11 o'clock. So you got to be very, very cognizant about getting into that sort of stuff. And the reverse alarm that we talk about in the Perfect Week Formula is a game changer for helping you get to bed at time.
Absolutely. And this kind of goes along with that question. This one, Craig, is from Rich. He says, every night I tell myself I won't hit the snooze button the next morning so I can get up and work right away, but I can't seem to get out of the rut of hitting the snooze button. How can I break this cycle?
Well, Rich, you know, first thing, shift that identity. You are not the type of person who hits the snooze button. You are not the type of person who hits the snooze button and tells their hopes and dreams that they can wait. You are not the type of person who hits the snooze button and gets 10 more minutes of crappy sleep, which actually leaves you more tired. You're just not the type of person who does that. You're the type of person who makes a promise to themselves and keeps that promise. That's what you are, Rich, is the type of person who says one thing and they do that thing. They don't say one thing and you know, do another thing. That's not the type of person you are, Rich. So you shift your identity with those things first, and then you can also build some systems around it. Okay, well, listen, the phone's going to be across the room, so I got to get my butt out of bed. I got to go across the room. You know, I got to turn the light on and go across the room, or whatever it is. You know, you got to have these things in place that stop you from doing the bad habit. You know, it's just like, if I had a fridge full of real Heineken and zero and no Heineken zeros, and I was really thirsty and I really wanted a beer, well, I'm in trouble because I've got all the bad options right there. I've got no good options. It's going to be tough unless I have the identity of I'm the type of person who doesn't drink alcohol ever. That will beat the fridge full of Heinekens. So those are the types of things you have to do mindset wise and habit wise so that you never get sucked into that.
Yeah. Great advice there, Craig. All right. So we've got about 3 minutes left here, Craig. So let's go to a little bit of rapid fire Q&A. Okay. Here. So my first question, I think you kind of said a little bit of a tip here, but I'll ask it again. Maybe give us a different piece of advice. What's your top tip for eliminating phone distractions?
Well, the first thing is to put that phone as far away from you as possible. So Daniel and I have this little shtick where we say, put your arms out to your side, spin around. And everything, understand that when you are working and you do that, you know, if you're at your desk right now, don't do it if you're driving, unless you're driving a Tesla, you can probably get away with it. But, you know, don't do that right now if you're driving. But you know, if you put your arms out to the side and you do that 360, everything within that 360 reach is a distraction bomb. It can blow up. You know, I got the War of Art sitting here. So if I'm like, oh, man, I got to write this article. Oh, man, but that book is sitting there and I want to procrastinate. So I'm going to go and write, I'm going to read a book about how not to procrastinate and procrastinate. So, you know, you think about everything that's sitting there. And so if that phone is within reach, you will get it and you will use it. So you got to make sure it's out of reach. That's the number one game changer right there.
Great. All right. Next question. What's the number one misconception about discipline?
Well, that you have to be hardcore, right? And, you know, I know that on this call, I've been pretty high energy and sounding kind of hardcore, but at the end of the day, it's discipline through subtraction. Discipline through subtraction. We move that phone out of arm's reach. We move that phone into another room. We turn that phone off. We put that phone in airplane mode. We remove all the red dots on the phone, the notifications. We remove the phone from buzzing and banging and ringing and all that sort of stuff. And you remove that stuff, you will be more successful. Because I like to use this little analogy. If Daniel and I are both going to run a marathon and we're both, you know, everything else being equal, you know, we run 3-hour marathons and we each get one change before the marathon. And so Daniel gets the best shoes in the world, right? They're going to cut 15 seconds off his marathon time. And for me, what happens is they put a 100-pound backpack on me. Well, what's going to have the greatest significant effect on our race times? Daniel's new shoes, which are going to save him 15 seconds, or me trying to run a marathon with a 100-pound backpack on. It's always going to be the backpack. 100-pound backpack is going to destroy me. It's going to take me 3 days to run a marathon, not 3 hours. And so if I remove that negative, that will have the greatest impact of those two changes. So it's always about removing the negatives as much as possible. And it's not about, you know, three-minute cold showers. And it's going to be slightly beneficial, but it's like that 15 second improvement as opposed to a 3-day detriment.
Great advice there. All right, Craig, next one. Sleep is critical for high performers. We've talked about kind of how to get more quantity sleep, but how about quality of sleep? What's a hack there to get better sleep overall?
Yeah. So the reverse alarm, when you don't have those electronics an hour before bed, is huge because, you know, you might read something that gets you fired up. Also the blue light of the phone makes your brain alert. Plus just the bing bopping and booming, you know, when you're going from one reel to the other and you're going from one app to another, like your brain just gets so fired up. You can't fall asleep. The sleep that you get is very poor. Also alcohol, you know, that's the main reason that I went from 99% no drinker to 100% no drinker is because I looked at my sleep stats and the one drink, I mean, I may as well have had six drinks. I hardly slept quality sleep at all. So getting rid of the alcohol within 3 hours before bed, preferably every single night, is going to make a huge difference. Then the dark room, the cool room, the earplugs, the eye mask, all the goofy stuff, those things really do work. And, you know, when you have a good quality night's sleep, you know the difference that it makes in your life.
Absolutely. All right. Last question for you, Craig. What advice would you give someone who is experiencing burnout?
Oh, hire Daniel Woodrum. That's for sure. I mean, you know, getting the coaching with our team, getting coaching with Daniel and getting coaching with Gavin on our team and using the systems that I've built over the last 25 years so that that helped me go from the emergency room to being the world's most productive person. Like those systems, like just go through those systems, but really understanding, you know, when we look at the systems that we built in the course and stuff, we always start with that big why, the reason that you're doing it, the vision for your future. And that North Star keeps you on track. That North Star truly keeps you on track and helps you make better decisions so that you're not staying up too late and you're not sleeping in, all that stuff. Because if you, like, I'm doing it for my family, I'll never sleep in ever in my life. Like if I sleep in, I'm sleeping in on baby Isabella's future. I'm not going to sleep in on my daughter's future ever. And so that's just, you know, the identity. And so, you know, having the North Star, the identity shift and the systems that we teach, those are the game changers that are going to make you a high productive, high performing person. That's absolutely it.
Awesome. All right. Well, look at that, guys. We set a hard 20 minute stop. Like Craig talked about, the power of having that hard cutoff time and putting those expectations in place. We're right at that 20 minute mark. Craig, I really appreciate that. That was extremely valuable. And I know some of those people that put 5, 6 discipline, I'm excited in the next 30 days to see those numbers go up 7, 8, 9, 10. Is there anything else that you want to leave them with, Craig, before we hop off this?
Better every day, guys. Better every day. You know, just men and women, guys and gals, you know, better every day. Believe in yourself, believe that you are that person that you want to be. And every single day, move towards being that person that you believe you can be.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Craig, I really appreciate your time. It was extremely valuable to us. And guys, I'm going to, in the chat box here, I'm going to put a link here. If you want more customized help, how to get more discipline, how to work on time management, you can book a free call with one of our certified discipline coaches, and we will be able to give you more customized help. So you have that link right there. We'd love for you to book a free call with us so we can help you even more. All right, Craig, I appreciate your time, guys. We will see you next week for our next live training. We'll give you guys a topic here soon. We'll tease you a little bit, but you will not want to miss it. I hope you guys have a productive and disciplined week.
Bye, guys.